All right, great to have everyone here with the legendary, greatest baseball player ever played, Willie Mays, right next to us right here at the Public House. And great to be here. Well, 1962 World Series with the Giants and the Yankees. Different than, of course, 54, but tell me a little bit about
this. Are you back on the air?
Yes, you're on the air with
me. You got to go now.
We work together a lot.
All right. I didn't know you were working again, Marty. Okay, I'm
sorry. That's all right. I'm just talking.
Say it again, what you're looking for?
I said the 62 World Series, because I want to, you, 51 is against the Yankees. That you, let's talk about 51 first. The first World Series you're ever in, what was that like?
That was my first one. 1951 was my first one. I was so scared, and this is the first year that I was so scared that I couldn't play that well, you know.
Really?
So I hit into three. Nobody ever talked about it, but I hit into three double plays in that, you know, World Series. But nobody ever wrote about it. So I thank the writers because I knew somebody was going to find it somewhere. But my first one was 51, 54, 62. I think that was the three.
73.
Oh, 73.
73
with the
Mets. At the Mets.
Yeah.
But in 51, when Bobby Thompson hit the home run, where were you?
I was on deck when Bobby hit the home run.
Did you want to get up?
No, I didn't want to get up to him because that was my scared year.
Yeah.
I figured that Charlie Dressen was the manager for the Dodgers. I thought he would walk Bobby to get to me, and I would probably come up there and strike out a little bit. So that was my thinking. The reason I said that is that when Bobby hit the home run, I was the last guy to get to home plate, and everybody else was already there. So it was a thrill once they got there.
Boy, amazing. You know, we see the Dodger-Giant games now, and they're very exciting.
What were
Dodger-Giants like for you with Magley and Leo and Carl Furillo and Newcomb and Campy? My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Pee-wee. Don't forget
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee
Reese. Now,
Pee-wee was there, yeah.
I love the Newcomb story. You know, first time you face Newcomb with Campy. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah, but I don't like to tell that.
All right.
People don't like to hear that all the time.
Well, Newcomb.
So I pass on it a lot of time. I only tell that to friends.
All right. Someone else told me one that someone said to you, well, I'm going to knock you down all the time. And you said, you could do that, but I won't be there when the ball gets there.
Oh, no. Newcomb knocked me down every time up at bat.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. He was like Drysdale. Every time I go to bat with Drysdale, he knocked me down. So in New York, Newcomb must have had that on his mind, too. But I used to kill him.
Well,
I didn't care about knockdown, you know, so throw it over the plate.
You know, it's amazing, and I looked this up, 13,000 at-bats in the big leagues. You only got hit like 44 times. That's incredible to me.
I was surprised when you told me how many times I got hit.
Yeah. You didn't think you got hit that many?
No, the only one I got hit was my first year in Birmingham. I have the stitches on my arm right now. I hit a home run off of one of the guys that was kind of older fella. Next time up, he just flattened me, you know. So, and the ball, and I don't know how the the stitches on the ball came off on my arm. And I don't know how that happened, but it's still there.
Wow.
That was my first year when I was about 16 or 17.
Wow. So here, you're a world champion in 54, and you then hit over 50 home runs coming up in next season.
What year?
With 55, right? You hit over 50.
I hit 41 in 54 and 51 in 55, I think.
Did you think you had a shot at Root's record that year?
Nah, I wasn't even thinking. When I played more, I never thought about records.
Okay.
I just wanted to win. I didn't understand, well, if I played 150 games, it was a big deal when I played. No, I just wanted to play every day. I didn't like sitting on the bench. If I had to sit on the bench, send me in the clubhouse. Let me go home. So I played every day, and that was what I really wanted to do. But when people say, oh, he played 125, 130 games, well, I said, oh, what that mean? I was up there about 160 or 154.
Wow.
All the time. Maybe miss two. If I get tired, Leo would give me some, you know, vitamins and make sure that I was okay coming back. So I just had a good time playing all the time.
So what did you think when the team moved to San Francisco and all of a sudden in the summer of 57 that you're going to become a Minneapolis Giant or maybe a San Francisco Giant? What did you think about that?
Well, Mr. Storm, at the beginning, you're right. They built a ballpark on the freeway there in Minneapolis to try and get Mr. Storm to play there. But something happened in between. That's how we got out here in 58.
Right.
So I came out in 57 to buy a house, and I bought a house here down the street from the mayor.
Right.
And he says, oh, you can buy anything here. But at that time, you know, they didn't want to sell you too many homes.
That's right.
But I pulled out my money, so they they changed their mind very quickly, you know. So I was okay. You know?
What about Seals Stadium? What do you think of that?
Seals Stadium, I only hit about 29 there my first year, I think. I hit good. I hit 345 or 347, but I only hit 29 home runs. Then I found out people out here want to see home runs.
Right.
So I stepped it up. The next year, I think I hit 45 or 50 the next year. But my batting average dropped from 345 down to maybe 319. So, but I did pretty good with that, you know.
So then it comes Candlestick. And, of course, this is the last year of Candlestick.
Yeah.
All these things are happening.
Yeah.
Now, here, you know, look, you've played in the Polo Grounds. You've played all over baseball. And now you end up at Candlestick Park. What, you take a look at this. What do you think of that one?
In 1960, when I came to Candlestick, and I couldn't get the ball in over the fence in batting practice. Every time I hit it, the wind would bring it back. So I decided, I said, Chuck, you got to bring the fence in. It was about, maybe 380 or 390.
Yeah.
So the wind would throw it back in. Then he brought it down to, I think, 340, 350. I still couldn't get it over there, so I changed my stance. So I said, I'm going to hit this ball to right center all the time and let it blow over. So I changed it at home. I hit 20 at home and maybe 20 on the road, maybe 40 every year for a while.
Yeah.
But I didn't like hitting that because it was kind of windy.
Kind of?
And I couldn't get the ball the way I wanted, so I had to change the stance at home and hit the regular stance on the road. That's how I, you know, used to hit a lot.
How did you play defense there, though?
Defense was no problem.
Really?
No, I used to count, you know, like one, two, three, and the ball would come right back to me. So I would pause and stay there, and here come the ball. Most guys were playing in Candlestick. They would run over there where the ball's supposed to come, but they had to come right back to catch the ball. So a lot of them didn't want to play there, but I did. I knew how to play there.
Boy, the Dodger-Giant games at Candlestick were amazing, but I think maybe one of the most amazing records Willie holds is through innings 1 through 16. He's hit a home run in every inning. He's the only one in baseball history to do that. And the 16th inning home run, off Warren Spahn, was an amazing home run and probably one of the greatest games in history.
You're talking about one?
Yeah, Spahn-Marshall, yeah.
Okay. Marichal was one of those guys. He would always stay around me, especially when he's pitching. So in about maybe the 11th inning, Alvin Dock tried to take Marichal out of the game. So Marichal said to Alvin, no, no, no. You see that guy over there? He's like 42 or 46 right now. I'm only 27. I'm not coming out the game. So about the 15th or 16th inning, I was coming from the outfield, and I used to step on first base all the time. So when I stepped on first this time, somebody tapped me on the shoulder.
Right.
He said, Chico, I'm tired. I said, what do you mean you're tired? I said, you only went 16. You know, I said, well, I'm tired. So I said, oh, okay, hold on for a minute. And I didn't know I was going to hit a home run. And Spahn threw me a fastball, then he threw the screwball, but it didn't screw too much, you know.
Okay.
So I hit it to left field with a little curve on it, and it got through the wind without any problem. So Marichal came over and thanked me, and he says, Chico, I was tired. I thank you for hitting the home run for me here. So it was a good challenge for me.
Boy, amazing. And that comes on the heels of the game in Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee?
Yeah.
The four home runs?
Is that all you hit with four? I thought you were going to hit five.
No, no. I hit the fifth one, but Hank Aaron caught it going over the fence. And he was playing center field that day.
Yeah.
I really wasn't going to play that day. I ate some ribs the night before, and I just didn't feel good. So I'm sitting on the bench over there doing batting practice. So Joy Mafitano came over and he says, Willie, I got a bat. Everything I hit goes over the fence, and I'm not a home run hitter. So I said, okay. So I go up and take 7 swings, I hit 4 out right away. So I go to the lineup card and change my name, change to the third guy and put my name there. So Alvin came down and he says, what are you doing? I says, hey, man, I got to play today because it seems like something's going to happen. So the first time up, I hit a home run off of Lou Burdette.
Lou Burdette.
The next time I hit the home run off Lou Burdette, I think I hit one off of Sid Moorhead.
Seth Moorhead, that's correct.
I hit another one off of Don McMahon.
That's right.
So I hit in between. I hit one, like I said, going over the fence, and Hank, when Hank caught it, that was off of Sid Moorhead too, I think.
Did you try to hit home runs?
No. My theory was, if I start a game, I want to get a base hit first time. If I got a base hit, I got 3 more swings to hit a home run in. That's how I went on. You told me you hit a home run in the eighth, like 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. Well, that's what happened. You know, a lot of times I would say to myself, you don't have to hit a home run in the first inning. I want you to hit home run. I'm talking to myself now. Hit home run when people are on base, and that's what I tried to do all the time. So if you look at my record, I didn't hit a lot of solo home runs. I hit a lot of home runs with people on base, and it was something that I wanted to do because the pitcher would always enjoy winning a game, and that's what I wanted to do, win.
Yeah, boy, yeah. You know, the four-homer game, Joe Adcock was playing first base for Milwaukee in those days. Remember the big first baseman? And he had hit 4 home runs at against the Dodgers.
Dodgers in Ebbets Field. Okay.
Yeah, so Adcock came in to Don McMahon after you hit 3 and said to McMahon, don't let him hit a 4th home run. Don't do it. And McMahon said, don't worry, I got it covered. Yeah. And you hit it about 465, I think.
Yeah, but Don McMahon was a friend of mine.
Yes, he was. Eventually a teammate, right?
Yeah, so he didn't care.
Yeah,
eventually a teammate. So he just laid it right there. He don't hit it.
It was
I had a good time with him. Yeah.
That was good. Hey, yeah. The 62 World Series, and, you know, it comes down to the 7th game, and you get the double, and Matty Alou's got to stop at 3rd. That brings McCovey up, and, of course, they pitch to McCovey, hits the line drive to Richardson. Reconstruct that 9th inning for me a little bit with your double and why Alou couldn't get in.
If you watch the 62 game, I hit a couple balls that Tom Tresh in left field caught it a couple times, going close to the fence. He was playing around me to hit it to right, and I hit it to left, and he caught it one-handed going away. So when Matty bunted and got on first, and I said to myself, I wish I was running because I might have, you know, I would have scored some kind of way. When I only got, I think, 1 for 4, but it was a double down the right field line. And the double was the ball stopped before it hit the fence. It was because it was so wet down there. When I hit it with a backspin, the ball, you know, didn't get to the fence out there. And that's how Roger Maris got it so quick and got it back in to Richardson. You know, he got it, you know, to home plate. I think it was Elston Hobble was the catcher at that time, you know. So that was it was a good World Series, I thought.
It was great. It was very exciting. The old Yankees-Giants. Hey, when you went back to Yankee Stadium, it was a big deal for you to go back there. Even in exhibition games, the fans really loved you when you went back.
We played the All-Star game there.
That's right.
We played the All-Star game in Yankee Stadium, and we played a couple of exhibition games there in Yankee Stadium. But I used to hit pretty good there, but left field was a long ways out there in Yankee Stadium at the time. I think Joe would have had more home runs if they'd have brought the fence in a little bit for him, but they didn't do that, you know.
You always said that DiMaggio was sort of your favorite player, that he was the best you saw. Why do you say that?
Well, when I was in Birmingham, I used to read the paper at like Saturdays and Sundays. We get a big paper, Sunday paper. And I used to see these names, Mulger, Ted Williams, and Joe DiMaggio. So I started watching. Then I found out that Joe was more of an all-around player than the other two was. Ted was a very, very good hitter. Mulger was a very good hitter, could run a little bit. But Joe did everything. He played good center field. He could throw. He could, you know, slide. He could, you know, hit for average. So I said, that's my man.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want to be when I, you know, get to the majors. So he found out one day, you know. So he He signed a ball for me.
Did he really?
He put a book on a ball.
Really?
I think I have it at home, you know. Boy. I don't know. Boy. I have his jock. I have all that stuff at home.
You never know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen.
That's going to bring some kids some money.
You never know. Joe DiMaggio's jock, absolutely.
Yeah, somebody gave it to me, and I said, hey, put it in my pile over there. Yeah.
Boy, amazing. You know, you look back at some of the things you did as a major league player, and I look at the 60s, and I say, the Giant teams were great, McCovey and Cepeda, yourself and Hart. But you didn't win. What happened in the 60s? You only won once.
The Dodgers had two good pitchers. They got lucky and got four.
Yeah.
They got Claude Osteen from Washington, and they had another right-hand pitcher they got from Atlanta, I think.
Sutton and Singer.
It wasn't Singer. It was another
Messersmith,
one.
Messersmith, no.
He was an announcer for Atlanta Braves.
Sutton.
No, Don Sutton.
Yeah.
So they had three or four good pitchers, and we could never get that third game. We always beat them to win two, but we never could get over. In 62, we beat them in a playoff,
yeah.
In a three-game playoff, but we had to win in a playoff, you know, for like two out of three, some kind of way, you know.
You caught the last ball, and, Billy Pierce said he wanted that ball.
I wanted the ball, but I forgot about how. I wasn't worried about that ball. I thought, let me catch this ball. I don't want nobody, get close to me.
So what did you do with it?
I threw it in the sand.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know who had that ball. Whoever had that ball, I'll sign it, and maybe some kids can go to college with that ball,
That'd be nice.
I never know, yeah.
All right, Willie Mays, now you're a Giant until you go to the New York Mets, and did you know that was happening when you went to Mrs. Payson?
That was in 1972. I didn't play that much out here, so I knew Mr. Stoneham didn't have money to pay me. So he would say to me, where you want to go? I said, well, man, I think I should go back to New York if you don't want me to, be out here. So I think he called Mrs. Joan Payson to take me back.
Right.
So when I was traded, I was in Montreal. And I called Mrs. Payson. She says, you are now a Met. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm going home. I don't want to be a Met. She says, you come to New York, and I will take care of whatever you need. So I go to New York from Montreal. My wife was already there. She already got the suites and everything set up for me. When I got there, she taking care of whatever I had, needed. Then I called Mrs. Payson and said, I'm here. So she said, you write your own contract. And I says, I, Willie Mays, would like to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I know nobody's going to sign that. She signed it.
Wow.
She signed it. So that's how I stayed in New York for a while.
Wow, beautiful.
Willie,
did you ever play?
Excuse me, Willie?
No,
yeah.
He's on the air.
Real quick.
No, he can't.
1 second.
He's on the air. What are you?
He's on the
Sorry.
Box.
No, he's on the air.
Who is that?
Nobody.
Wait a minute.
He wants to do it. He'll do it.
Wait a minute. How much you paying? I want this man to have something. You can't come in here and do that, huh?
I got the ring right here.
I got the ring, too, so what do you want?
That's right. He's got to pay and give to me. All right.
You got to give it to the... I'm going to do something that I know you don't want me to do.
Just sign this box for me.
Hold on, man. Sit down for a while.
Okay.
Just take it easy for a while. I have a shirt here.
Yeah.
What year is 51? 1951.
Okay.
If someone can tell me what my mother's maiden name was, I would give you this shirt. Because this man always said that he give away the airline tickets and all that. So I said, maybe I'll give him something that he can give a great fan.
All
so,
right.
You come up with the...
Willie Mays' mother's maiden name, and you're going to get the shirt signed by Willie.
Yeah, the maiden name. And then
All right. We'll see if anyone comes up.
Somebody come get it. If what's name?
Smith.
Everybody's name is Smith. That's not my mother's name.
I have good arms.
You're taking a chance.
Yeah. Better weight.
What's that?
Better weight.
That's it.
All right, you're the winner.
That's it. Yeah, she got it on the PC.
Very good.
That's very good.
Are you going to sign this thing?
Oh. Give it to me.
Yeah, Renee's got the pen. Here it comes.
Yeah, give it to me.
All right. There you
Come
go.
Come on, ma'am.
Come on up. Pat, do you want to find out who this is?
No way.
What's your name?
My name's Taylor. And I'm literally shaking right now.
How'd you know that, Taylor?
Well, I actually love Willie Mays and grew up with my grandparents telling me all about him. So I just kind of had to clog back through the memories.
Really? So you didn't look it up on the PC or anything?
No PC.
Woo. That's pretty good, huh, Marty?
That's amazing. Willie, she knew it. She didn't even look it up.
Huh?
She knew it. She didn't even look it up.
You knew that?
I did know that. I'm freaking out a little bit right now.
Is that right?
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
Amazing.
Thank you, guys. Okay.
Amazing.
Hey. No, Marty, the reason I want to do that is I hear you talking every on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I want to do something for you, so I brought the shirt. Because you're always giving something away to people. I thought they needed something different.
Well, thank you.
And on your behalf, I wanted to make sure that I could give it to somebody. And the guy is bringing a doll, a bobblehead doll?
Well, he wanted you to sign the box that the ring came in.
Oh, the ring table?
Yeah, the ring.
No, he got to whip out. No.
You
got to
make
a
big donation for that one.
All right. Come on. Let's go, Mark.
All right. We're ready?
Yeah.
All right. Last question. Stickball. You ever play stickball out here in San Francisco?
No. I played stickball in 155th Street in New York. That was a lot of kids lived across the street in an apartment building, and they used to get me up at 9 o'clock. For day game, and at night they come by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would play stickball for about an hour every day. They had a mop. They cut the mop off, and I'm sure you know about
that.
Yeah,
of course.
And we had what they call the Spalding dot that we use all the time. So we was okay, you know.
All right.
Pecan, you up?
Yes, sir.
Am I in or what?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you so much for coming here today.
No problem. Okay. Yeah.
It's a real treat.
For Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Okay.
Willie Mays.
Thank you, Mr. Mays.
Now, his birthday is coming up May 6th, 83.
Yeah.
So let's do a happy birthday right now for Willie, because we're not going to see him on May 6th. We'll be in the middle of the week. All right. So a happy birthday. Let's go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Willie. Happy birthday to you. All right. And we love you. We love you. All right, more coming up right here on KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.
Yeah, my dog.